Morning. Carol, that was very beautiful. What was that piece?
The Bach. I don't know the name.
It's very beautiful. Thank you. Well, we've been in the book of Ephesians for a long time that some of you might have forgotten. The last week we started in the book of John and we looked at Jesus Christ as the light of the world, and who shines in the darkness. And today we're going to look at John the Baptist. And my goal in going through John, we're going to do a little bit differently than we went through Ephesians. Ephesians, we went kind of verse by verse by verse, and we went through the whole book, and it was good to look at Ephesians, taking little bites at a time. John, my hope and my goal is to do it a little bit differently and to actually take a new character or theme in the book of John and kind of trace it throughout. And so that way you won't know what passages I'm going to be preaching on and keep you on your toes a little bit. So anyway, this morning we're going to be looking at John the Baptist, and we're going to be kind of jumping around to different passages that talk about his ministry. But I'll give you the ending or the bottom line up front. John was, by all accounts, a very strange man. Today, we probably wouldn't even listen to what he had to say. But he was an amazing man. He convicted people of their sin. And he was the forerunner of Christ. He was what Jesus called a lamp that pointed towards Christ. Jesus is the light, and John was the lamp. So with that, let us get started. And the first thing that I want to look at is the works of John the Baptist. We're going to kind of look at what did he do, what did he say, and what did people say about him. Those are the three points that we're going to cover this morning. John the Baptist, obviously what he's known for is baptism. The sermon title is John the Baptizer. The Baptist part is really a translation of John the Baptizer. That's what he did. He was a baptizer. And when we look at baptism today, when we baptize somebody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, when we baptize them, we are identifying with Christ's death. You know, a lot of times when we baptize, we'll say they were buried with Christ, and then when we pull them out of the water, raised in newness of life. And so we're identifying that baptism with Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But John the Baptist, when he baptized, Christ hadn't been raised, he hadn't even been buried, and he hadn't even died yet. So what baptism did John preach? It says that John preached a baptism of repentance. A baptism of repentance. We see in Colossians 2:12 an example of how baptism is connected with Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." So that's kind of how we see baptism today, as connecting with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But there's also two other aspects of baptism that was more appropriate at John's time, because Christ had not yet died. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, we see an example of how baptism is a public identification of someone's belief. And that's what part of John's baptism was. Is he was baptizing people who were believing in what he was preaching. Do you have, Matt, can you pull that up, Galatians 3:27, please? Says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And he's talking there about how Christ has freed us from the law. but it's an example of identification. Baptism is an taking on the identification of a belief system, i.e., John's belief system, what he is preaching. And that is what Christ, when we see Christ coming to be baptized by John, that is what he is doing. But there's also a third aspect of baptism. And it's one we really don't talk about a whole lot, but it's also very much appropriate. And let me actually let somebody else explain this to you. A historian named Josephus, in describing John's ministry, talks about John's baptism. It says, Josephus records that one of Herod's armies was destroyed in AD 36, and he describes this by saying, now some of the Jews thought that this destruction of Herod's army came from God, and that very justly as a punishment of what he did against John. That was called the Baptist, for Herod slew him, who was a good man, and commanded the Jews to exercise virtue, both as to righteousness towards one another and piety towards God, and so to come to baptism, for that the washing with water would be acceptable to him if they made use of it, not in order to the putting away or the remission of some sins only, but for the purification of the body, supposing still that the soul was thoroughly purified beforehand by righteousness. Now when many others came in crowds about him, for they were greatly moved or pleased by hearing his words, Herod, who feared lest the great influence of John had over the people might put into his power an inclination to raise a rebellion, for they seemed ready to do anything that he should advise, he thought it best by putting him to death to prevent any mischief he might cause and not bring himself into difficulties. But here he says of John's baptism that it was not just for putting away sins, not just an identification of our righteousness in Christ, but also for the purification of the body, supposing that the soul had been thoroughly purified beforehand by righteousness. You see, John taught that if you want to come to God, you have to turn away from your sin. It was a baptism of repentance. In our Western culture, we've kind of gotten away from that. And we preach a baptism of forgiveness, which is actually quite different. We've gotten into this idea of easy believism, that all you have to do is pray a prayer, wave the magic wand, and God will forgive you of your sins. That's not the full message of the gospel. Certainly, that's what the Bible says, that we come to Jesus Christ not on our own works. There's nothing that we can do to merit salvation. But we have to repent. We have to turn away from who we were as sinners. And we have to identify with our new being in Christ. John taught repentance. And he asked people to be baptized as a recognition of their desire to repent of their sins and turn away. We also see that he baptized Jesus Christ. In Matthew 3, 13 through 17, it records this event. It says, Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's a passage that we've read probably many times in our studies or over the years. But John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to take the sandals off of the one who's going to come after me. And then Jesus comes to him and says, baptize me. I need to be baptized by you. And John's like, well, no, I need to be baptized by you. John is saying, I am the sinner here. You are the Savior. But Jesus said, no, I want to identify with what you are teaching. I want to promote and sign on and show the world that what you have been preaching and teaching is from God. The other thing that we see as far as the works of John the Baptist, it's really an amazing thing to me when you think about the man who is going to come to prepare the way of the Lord. When you think about God designed this man, he 700 years predicted his birth beforehand. John did no miracles. He did no works. All he did was preach. He wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and honey. Just kind of a weird guy. And you would think all these people coming to see him, what was the draw? Certainly he must have been performing miracles. But we see in John 10:41 that he performed no miracles. He had no signs. But what he had was a message. The people came to the wilderness from all over Judea to see a man dressed in camel skin and eating honey and locusts. And when Jesus talked about John, he said this, why did you go out into the wilderness? What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. Jesus is basically mocking them if you don't catch the sarcasm. Indeed, he's saying, hey, what did you go out there to see? Some branches shaking around because it was the wilderness? Or did you go out to see some beautiful person? No, you would have went to the king's courts for that. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. See, the people recognized that this man had a message that was different. He was different than the Pharisees. He was different than the Sadducees. He preached a different message. And he was really quite a popular person. A lot of people begin to believe John's message. And we see in the New Testament, there's different examples of even when Paul is going on missionary journeys to other countries, there's people who had heard John's message and believed in him and had believed in John's baptism. But the heart of really what I want to talk about this morning is not the works of John the Baptist. I really want to focus in on what was his message. We've talked a little bit about it this morning, but I want to expand on it. The first part of his message was repent. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for judgment is coming. In Luke 3, he says to the crowd of people, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist is saying to these guys, judgment is coming, and if you don't live like you believe what God says in His Word, you are not going to be saved. He says that even the axe is coming right now. And those who are not bearing good fruit, and Jesus talks about, I am the vine, right? And the Father is the vine keeper. And those who do not bear fruit are thrown into the fire. And that fire is hell. John says, there is judgment coming. Repent of your sins because the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, it's an amazing thing that John, not only did he preach this message faithfully to those who came to him, but he also preached it to those who didn't come to him. You see, the guy in charge of the land at that time, it was under Roman control, but the guy was in charge, his name was Herod. And he had a wife. And his wife, he had actually married this another king's wife from another land. They got together, they were married. Well, he saw his brother's wife, okay, he ruled in another part, and he said, you know that lady, I think I kind of like her a little bit better. And so he convinced her to leave her husband, and he left his wife, and they got together. Okay? Now the Bible says that's wrong. That's adultery. If you're married to somebody, you're married to that person until they die. And so John the Baptist recognized that what they were doing was wrong. It says in Mark 6, 14 through 20, it says, now King Herod heard of him, Jesus Christ, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. He's hearing about Jesus Christ. He says, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said it is Elijah, again talking of Christ. And others said it is a prophet, like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John who I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias, the wife, held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. You see, Herod recognized that this man was from God. And when John preached to him, it struck him. It changed. It says he did many things. It means that he was changed by what John's message was. He did many things to change his life in to line up with what John is preaching. But still, John the Baptist, he spoke to the people in high places. He spoke to the people in low places. And his message was live rightly. Do the right things. He said, bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. So many oftentimes in our culture today, we say, I'm sorry. And then we go do the very same thing that we just apologized for. That is not sorry. Okay? Sorry means, I am not going to do this again. I feel bad. I was wrong. And I am not going to continue doing what I just did because I feel badly. It was wrong. That's what sorry means. And that's what John said we have to do, is we have to repent of our sin if we want to receive salvation. But then we have to go out and bear the fruit that is worthy of repentance. This week I was dealing with an individual, and they went and did something to somebody. And I was talking with them and said, hey, that was wrong, right? Yeah, that was wrong. And so we said, okay, so what should we do? I should apologize. Okay, so go apologize. And while that individual was apologizing, they again did the exact same thing that we were just talking about them doing, for which they were apologizing. It was amazing to me. But it must be how God feels all the time. Because we sin and we sin and we sin. And John says, live rightly. Bear the fruits that are worthy of repentance. If you say you're sorry, act like it. And so the people hearing this message said, well, what should we do? What should I do? And that's a good response to any message. What should I do then? And he answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. And then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." You see, today we have a tax collector and we go down and or a tax assessor, and we go down and it's written in law what our taxes are going to be. And all they have to do is punch in the calculator, how much land do you have, or different things like that, where do you live, and they give you what your taxes are going to be. But back in Jesus' day, the tax collector worked for the Romans. They were Jews that worked for the Romans, and they were despised because they could charge whatever they could collect. They had to give a certain amount to the Romans, and whatever they collected after that was theirs. And they were very burdensome to the people. Matthew was a tax collector, one of the disciples, but the tax collectors were despised. Matter of fact, one of the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people of the day, one of the things they just hated about Jesus was that he hung around tax collectors and sinners. That was just one group that just really got under their skin. But these tax collectors come to John and say, "What should we do?" He says, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Treat people fairly. Be honest in your dealings. Don't take from people more than what they are required to pay." Then the soldiers came and they said, "What should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Be honest. He is the law. The soldier is the law of the land, much like a police officer today. And if we had police officers that were running around accusing people of things that they didn't do, how would that be in our community? Justice would fall apart, right? And we would elect a new sheriff and we'd get the right guy in there. But this system, they didn't have that. They didn't have elections and all that sort of stuff. So John says, "Don't intimidate people. Don't accuse them falsely. And be content with your wages. Don't steal stuff from people." So John's message is, well, you could say it's the golden rule, right? Treat others the way you would want to be treated. But live rightly. Thirdly, we see this. His message is, prepare for the coming of Christ. He says in Luke 3, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Talking about the harvest. And when you harvested, you had the wheat and you had the chaff. And you separated them. The chaff was bad. The wheat is the good stuff. And he said that Christ is going to do the same thing. And he's going to baptize with one or two things. Either with the Holy Spirit to life everlasting, or with fire to eternal destruction. So get ready. Know where you're going to go and live accordingly. His last message, it wasn't really a part of what he preached on a regular basis, but I think it is so very important for us today. The Pharisees, they are always causing problems. Okay? Whenever you see Pharisees in the scriptures, you can count they are up to no good. Okay? And this case is the same. In John 3:25, we see they're at it again. "Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, 'Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him.'" So these Pharisees are arguing with John's disciples. You say, "You know that guy you baptized the other day? He's now baptizing and he's taking all the people with him. All your people they're going with him. And you're not going to have anybody to follow you." Trying to stir up dissension and trouble. And John answered and said, A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the group, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, even in Christian circles, that's a hard pill to swallow. He must increase, and I must decrease. You see, John the Baptist is a preacher. He's a minister. He's out there in the desert. He's teaching God's word. People are starting to come to him, listen to him. They want to be baptized and identify with his message. He's starting to become a big deal. People are coming from all over Judea to listen to him. He was a big deal. He was becoming very popular. Even the king knew who he was and wouldn't even lay a hold on him because the people he feared, they would rise up against him because of how popular John was. And all of this is starting to come to an end, and John is seeing his time is fulfilled. He is seeing that what he has done is no longer necessary because his ministry is going to give way to Christ's ministry. And for many of us, that would be a very hard pill to swallow. We would say, hey, I want to hold on to that platform. I want to be up there. I want people to look at me. And even in church circles, what do we see ministers doing? Promoting themselves, promoting themselves, promoting themselves. But John said, you know, I'm like the friend of the groom. I'm like the best man. And I'm here to honor this man. That is an amazing testimony that John gave with his life. I am the friend of the groom. I am the friend of Jesus. And my whole goal is to honor him. You know, we sang that song, Amazing Love. And it says, it's my joy to honor you. And that was John the Baptist's message. He said, this joy of mine is fulfilled because the people are now going to Christ and not to me anymore. And I pray that that would be our message, that we would preach to people, not from a pulpit, but from the seat of our car, from our porch, from the office next door, that we would preach to people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and that we would then direct them to follow Christ, and that that would be our joy. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. You know, we were looking at that passage actually in Bible study this week, at our home Bible study with the guys. And we played a song at the end by a guy named Lecrae. He's a Christian rapper. And not like going around to candy, but one who sings rap music. But he sings a song called Background. And that really is the message of the song, is that I want to be in the background. I want Christ to be the center. And the second verse, I think, is very fitting. He says, I had a dream that I was the captain of my soul. I was the master of my fate, lost control, and then I sank. So I don't want to take the lead because I'm prone to make mistakes. All these folks who follow me are going to end up in the wrong place. So let me just shadow you. Let me trace your lines. Matter of fact, just take my pen here and you create my rhymes. Because if I do this by myself, I'm scared that I'll succeed and no longer trust in you because I only trust in me. And see, that's how you end up headed to destruction. Paving a road to nowhere, pour your life out for nothing. You pulled my card, I'm bluffing. You know what's in my hand. Me, I just roll and trust you. You cause the dice to land. I'm in control of nothing. Follow you at any cost. Some call it sovereign will. All I know is you, the boss. Man, I'm so at ease. I'm so content. I'll play the background like it's an instrument. That was John's message. That was John right there. I'm in the background. Christ is the foreground. I'm just here to lay the path. I'm just the herald. Follow him because I'm not even worthy to unbuckle his shoe. Lastly, we see what people said about John. Finish up. Testimony about John. We see two things. One, Jesus Christ said that he was a great man. You know, that's every Christian's goal, is to get to heaven and hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your Father's joy. Enter into your Father's rest. And John the Baptist had that said about him. Jesus Christ said in Luke 7, "For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John. See, Jesus said, John is the greatest prophet of all. John is the greatest man that lived besides Christ. And people, even just hearing the memory of John, came to know Christ. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't you love people just talking about you and being saved? That is amazing. John was such a great man. The other thing that we see about John is in John 10. We see that he was right. John 10, 40 through 42, it says, "When he went away again," this is talking about Jesus, "beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. And many came to him and said, 'John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true.' And many believed in him there." John didn't perform a sign. He had a message. A wonderful, miraculous message that didn't need any special works. People believed because of the power of his message. You know, when I was working with the John Birch Society, I would travel all over Montana. And a lot of times people would come up to me and they would say, "You know, Michael, when I was younger, I heard about the John Birch Society. And I thought they were crazy. But now looking back, I saw that they were right all along." And that's what people said of John. The guy was wearing camel's clothes, you know, camel leather. He's out in the desert eating locusts and honey, bugs and honey. He's crazy. He's weird. But they looked back at what he said, and they said he was right all along. And his message was this: repent for your sins, because judgment is coming. He said, live like you really mean you repent of your sins. And he said, get ready, because Christ is returning, Christ is coming, and you need to know what you're going to do with this guy. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? You know, that message is still applicable today. John's message is still applicable, just as if he were alive today. Christ is going to come back. And people had better get ready, because judgment is coming. God will baptize with fire or with the Spirit, all, everyone. No one will get away. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for John. I thank you for John the Baptist and his message. Lord, I thank you for his humility, that in his example for us, that in all the things that we do, that we would put you as the forefront, that we would give honor to you as the friend of the bridegroom. Lord, I thank you for his testimony, Lord, that it would be an example for us and that we would preach that same message that John preached 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.